Middle East on the brink. North Korea on the brink. Iran increasing its aggression. Elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can't happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989898 for a free info kit. S-A-V-A-G-E, text it to 989898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989898.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
This is Michael Savage, broadcasting live from Hotel California, where I've lived since, oh, I guess 1974. When I came here, this was a great state. It was not the late great state of California. It was the great state of California. It had everything from snow-clad mountains to deserts. It still does. The people were rather tolerant instead of insanely progressive, communistic, liberal, fascist. There were several good newspapers. Now there's nothing but a Willie Brown mimeograph sheet in San Francisco. There was a vibrant two-party system. There was the best educational system in the United States of America. I sent both of my children through state schools, and both of them have thrived in this nation through very hard work, and very, very hard work at that. It is now a trash bin of human history because of endless corruption by the Democrat Party. Willie Brown ran San Francisco. Willie Brown ran the state. Jerry Brown ran the state. Governor Newsom runs the state. It's like Tammany Hall all over again, only it's not New York, it is California. Exclusive, Michael Savage backs Trump on San Francisco junkie shoot up in front of children, is the headline, just came out minutes ago on Breitbart.com. Exclusive, Michael Savage backs Trump on San Francisco junkies shoot up in front of children, says he. I linked it on MichaelSavage.com, and I'll put it up on Twitter later. I'm going to read you a piece of the article, ask you what you think about it, tell me if I'm wrong. And the issue is, let's say we all agree that the junkie shooting up in front of children is true. It is true. Let's all agree there's human feces in the street. Even liberals have maps of human feces in the street. Let's agree that 30,000 cars were reported to have been broken into last year. That's reported because the gangs run around with pipes and break windows and steal everything in the car, and the police cannot do anything because the psycho corrupt judges throw the cases out. Let's say we all agree on that. It has nothing to do with politics. Well, we disagree on the fact that it has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with politics. It has everything to do with liberalism. Everything about liberalism is why you have human crap in the streets, junkies shooting up in front of children, car windows being broken open, and people being assaulted in the streets, and broken highways. It's all corruption, all liberalism. So let me read the article. Talk radio legend and New York Times best-selling author Michael Savage is once again sounding the alarm on the deterioration of San Francisco. That's in California, by the way. In the wake of Donald Trump criticizing House Speaker Nancy D'Alessandro Pelosi, Democrat, California, over the conditions in her failing district. On Sunday, President Trump shifted his fierce critiques from Rep. Elijah Cummings, who has perhaps the meanest, hatest face in the Congress. Why is that man always so angry? What, does that work for him? Is he that way at home? Over Baltimore to Pelosi. Warning, San Francisco will soon decline beyond repair unless immediate action is taken. Wrote on Twitter, the president said, speaking of failing badly, has anyone seen what is happening to Nancy Pelosi's district in San Francisco? It is not even recognizable lately. Something must be done before it is too late. I extend an invitation to the president to let me show him the city. I know the city better than Pelosi does because she doesn't dare walk in it. I do. I can take the president on a tour of this city, and he will see things he will not believe that no one has shown him. In a statement to Breitbart News, Michael Savage, a longtime resident of the Bay Area, joined President Trump in eviscerating California's Democrat leadership by highlighting San Fran's worsening crime and crumbling infrastructure. Let me quote myself. How do you quote yourself quoting yourself within an article being quoted? I'll just read what I wrote. Where's all the federal and state highway funding gone, said Savage. The streets are worse than some African nations. Even the roadway going on to the iconic Golden Gate Bridge is a disgrace. The streets are littered. Bums rule the sidewalks. Junkies shoot up in front of children. People are afraid to go out at night. Assaults by bums are swept under the radar by the Nun newspaper. Over 30,000 cars are broken into each year. Police do nothing because the psycholib judges dismiss those few cases that are prosecuted. Need I mention the well-known epidemic of human feces on the sidewalks? Have you ever eaten dinner and seen a filthy human being drop his pants and crap outside the restaurant window as you were attempting to eat? Where are Pelosi, Feinstein, and other oh-so-compassionate rulers? Notice I use the word rulers because they are functioning as though they are rulers, not representatives of the people. The conservative media star's condemnation of Pelosi comes as Democrats are expressing outrage over President Teep spotlighting the worsening state of long-run demon cat cities. On Saturday, the president blasted Cummings for shouting at Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAlanine during a recent congressional hearing and said Baltimore, the Maryland district's Democrats' district, has far worse conditions than immigration detention centers. It's all true. You know the rest of the story. But you heard what I had to say. And you know the whole story about the Baltimore thing and the president's tweets about Baltimore and the fact that the street rat Al Sharpton got involved. The street rat Al Sharpton, one of the worst people in the history of the world. A slob, a street agitator, a bum, a mook, a filth, who spent his whole life as a fatty with a bullhorn, bullying everybody. Came from a middle-class home, Sharpton. Maybe believe he was a downtrodden African-American. Came from a middle-class home, made up a fake degree of reverend. He never went to divinity school. Made it up, but they call him reverend. Every time they refer to him, reverend. That shows you how sycophantic the media is, how cowardly they are. Reverend. Ask him where he got his reverend degree. Ask him about Freddy's Fashion Mart. Ask him about the fire outside Freddy's Fashion Mart. Ask him about other things that he's done in his life. And, of course, he was rewarded by MSNBC with a prime slot on the network that specializes in hating everything decent about life in America. So now the problem here for me is that the president has suddenly elevated this street bum to the level of the presidency, as he did with the four evil women. He shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have dragged him into this and gotten down in the gutter with him, because when you lay with the lousy, you get lice. There's an old saying. Didn't your mother ever teach you that? When you lay down with the lousy, you get lice. I am saying to the president, it's enough already of laying down with the lousy because the lice are crawling all over your image. It's not your fault that they're bad, but you're making a mistake by equating them with the presidency. You didn't have to do that one. But I back you, of course, on what you're saying, but that's not the issue. If you're listening to this program anywhere in America, and you want to call it homeless, I don't call it homeless because the Bible does not promise us a home. There is not a country on earth where a home is promised a human being. Nowhere on earth are you promised a home. Nowhere. How did they wind up in the gutter? Because you pushed them there? They wound up in the gutter, crapping in the streets and shooting up with a needle because you did it to them? Because society failed them? Are you that stupid? Are you people that idiotic? They wound up there because of defects in their character. They wound up there through bad luck or through disease. Okay, things happen to people. So what do you do with people like that? Well, we spend billions of dollars a year to help them. How much money do you think San Francisco dedicates every year to the so-called homeless epidemic, the infection of homelessness? The last I checked, it was over $500 million in direct money. That's $500 million minimum. That does not count police. That does not count the ambulances that have to come and pick these bums off the street. That does not count the cleaning up after these filth. So you say at least $1 billion a year in San Francisco alone is blown on them. But where does the money go? What do you think? It just goes up people's noses? No. Oh, no. The way corruption works is that corrupt politicians have cronies and relatives who set up front companies who service the homeless, just as they have cronies and relatives who service the illegal alien business. They build housing for them. They provide food services, medical services, clothing, legal. And the money kicks up as in any other corrupt dictatorship. It flows right up to the politicians through third, fourth parties. You look at the Golden Gate Bridge. I drive on it on a regular basis. I've been driving on that bridge since I moved here in 1974. And if you enter the Golden Gate Bridge going north from San Francisco, you will notice that the road is still broken, not been paved since I've lived here. They patched a few holes, but you ask yourself, how could these corrupt people who run this city and state and the corrupt Golden Gate Bridge Authority, how could they let this go on? How does the federal government not step in? I have said it's long overdue for an FBI task force to come into this city and take it over, because I've never seen anything like this. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. And let me tell you how it started. It didn't happen by accident. The hippies invaded California. Let's go back to the beginning. Woodstock, the Golden Gate Park, was around the same time, the 60s, the late 60s. And the rest is history. Many of these drug-addicted hippies are now running the city and state, in plain English. They cut off, I don't know if they cut the beards off anyone. Now they need the beard again to look like the hipsters. But it's the same mentality. Some of the people who were dropping acid in the streets of Berkeley and San Francisco in the 60s are now sitting in City Hall. Oh, yeah. There they are. They're sitting there right now. Half of them are probably high on crack or Prozac or both. They don't know what they're on. They don't know what city they're living in. But those of us who live in the city and try to walk and have a decent life know what city we're living in. We look up at the heavens and we see the blue skies. We see this miraculous thing called fog. Surprised that Newsom hasn't taxed the fog yet. You know, on hot days, if you go near the Golden Gate Bridge, you see fog coming in. It looks like God himself blowing the marine layer over the Bay Area to cool us off. I'm sure that Newsom could put a meter on the fog and run a tax on it and make all of us pay for the fog, because they haven't yet figured out how to tax the squeal in a pig that's dying. Maybe they'll figure that out next time. We could talk about this. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. You have any homeless horror stories for any of the cities in America? Are there any other topics that you care to talk about? I have about 10 more that I will talk about. Let me give you the phone number, do some business here. 855-400-7282. What topic to you is the most important today? Is it the Baltimore story? What is the most important story out there now that no one is talking about? What is the number one thing bothering you about America today, whether it's the government, the nation, the news cycle, or whatever? If you want to get some ideas of what I'm going to be talking about, you can go to michaelsavage.com. Again, headline, Breitbart, Michael Savage backs Trump on San Francisco. Junkies shoot up in front of children. It's true. It's not false. Let the mothers call in and tell their story right now on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Listen to me. You're not going to believe this. When I heard that at paintyourlife.com you could have an original painting by a world-class artist done by hand from a photo you send, I thought, what a great idea. It must be so expensive. I was stunned and amazed to learn that the paintings are truly affordable and the quality really is amazing. I had it done. A painting from Paint Your Life makes the perfect gift. It's meaningful, it's personal, and it will be cherished forever. If you want to give a truly meaningful gift, what you do is you take a photo that you love and you send it to paintyourlife.com. Have an original painting of yourself made, of your children, your family, a special place, a cherished pet, at a price you can afford, from paintyourlife.com. Now, these are true paintings done by hand by a world-class artist, created from your favorite photo. It makes the perfect gift for birthdays and anniversaries. You pick the artist whose work you most admire right online. You go through them. They show you artists, their work. You say, use this artist. And you work with them throughout the process until every detail of your painting is perfected. If you don't love the final painting, they will give you your money back. There's one of me and Teddy that you're not going to believe. It was from the cover of my book, Teddy and Me. I couldn't believe it was actually hand-painted. It's a work of art. With Paint Your Life, you get your favorite memories transformed into a work of art that will be cherished forever. Right now is a limited-time offer. Get 30% off your painting. 30% off and free shipping. It's unbelievable. To get this special offer, just text the word SAVAGE to 484848. That's SAVAGE to 484848. That's SAVAGE to 484848. That's SAVAGE, SAVAGE, to 484848. Message and data rates may apply. Baltimore, no. San Fran, yes. Worse than Baltimore. Where is Pelosi? Where is Feinstein? Savage quotes in response to Trump tweet. You know, I should have added that liberals, white liberals, who are billionaires and hundreds of millionaires, actually profit from the homeless situation. They profit from the illegal aliens. They profit from racism. They profit from drugs. They profit from crime. What do you think? This is done by accident? No one is that naive to believe that we couldn't resolve these problems in a very short period of time if there was a desire to resolve these problems in a short period of time. And if you think it's limited to the liberals, that's because your brain has been washed by those in the media who would like you to believe it's a one-sided story. The Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, known to be so-called conservatives, make billions of dollars a year, the last I checked, on illegal alien services. They build the facilities for them. They provide the services for the illegal aliens. So they're well-known to make money off this game. But what about those who are not well-known? The secret hands that are making billions off this social distemper that we are all suffering. The lawlessness and the anarchy will stop one day. It started with the hippie invasion in the 60s. It's now almost to the limit of what people are going to take. Even people who don't even identify in any way politically have had enough of their car windows being broken open, stepping around human feces, dodging the filthy, disgusting freak bums in the streets. They're abandoning restaurants in certain cities of this areas of the city. I won't mention it because my friends have restaurants there, but I will tell you right now, they're going to be boarded up very soon. People will not go there. When you're having dinner and you look out the window, and a gentleman, I love when they say gentleman, anyone who behaves like that is lower than an animal to me. An animal would hide it. When an animal defecates, they usually go to a bush. They try to hide. When a human being is so degraded mentally from drugs and from living in the gutter, they behave lower than an animal. They have less of a behavioral decency than a dog. Drops the pants, defecates in front of the restaurant window. I put the fork down. I almost puked. You can't eat after that. I'm still talking about it like a year later. I saw the man do it. It's different than reading about it. You never get certain things out of your mind. It's like certain images you wish you had never seen. That's like the murder of a brain. So you say, who do you blame? Who do you blame? Are you joking? Are you joking? Do you know that this does not happen in African countries because the people would be pummeled by the crowd? Do you know that this does not happen in Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua because the people have decency and pride? They would never permit it to happen in the Central America. It never happens in Mexico. The men would never tolerate a man defecating outside of a restaurant window in the gutter. Why does it happen in San Francisco and New York and other so-called tolerant liberal cities? Explain that to me. Explain it to me why it happens here and not there. But as I say to you, there is a pendulum, a giant social pendulum. This liberalism to the left of center has now reached its height. It will not get worse, maybe a tiny bit worse. Trump was the beginning of the swing of the pendulum in the other direction. And the criminals who run the liberal rackets are the ones fighting back the hardest against him, using front men like Nadler and Schiff and the others to try to bring Trump down. But make no mistake about it, it's all about money. It has nothing to do with justice. It has everything to do with money. The pendulum is right now hovering on a rightward swing. We've got to help push that pendulum to the right to save our children. This is the Savage Nation. If you get a comment upon this, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Who's going to be left here? Who will be left if the people who provide most of the taxes leave? Who's going to be left here? Who's going to be left here? So one moron on Twitter says to me, what would Jesus have done with the bums or with the illegal aliens? My answer was there was no welfare in his day. Everyone worked or starved or was taken care of by their own family. No answer to that one. No answer. That's all. 855-407-282. Here's a caller out of Marin County, California. Gary, thank you for calling the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about my went by SF Marin General. My mother went to the hospital for a somewhat minor procedure.
Right.
And ended up with an infection. They got bums in the cafeteria, sleeping in the corners.
Ugh.
Plate smells like urine. My eyes.
Wait, this is in the San Francisco General Hospital?
Yeah, send somebody over there. Check it out. My eyes were watering.
There are bums laying on the floor in the cafeteria?
Yeah, and those were doctors are eating. Not too many of them, believe me. Nurses, and this is supposed to be a sterile environment. I just don't understand.
This has now degenerated to a fourth world nation because, as I said before, a third world nation has better hygiene and sanitation than San Francisco does.
So now,
that's sickening. What? How's your mother today now, Gary? Is she better?
No, she's in intensive care. She's probably less than 50-50 chance. She went in, and as a result of being there, may not make it.
What do you mean? She picked up the infection in the hospital, you're saying?
As far as what they say, yeah. The treatment.
I'm so sorry to hear it, but I'm not surprised. I'm just sorry to hear it. You take your life in your hands going into a hospital to begin with the ambient microbes flying around in the hallways and on the floors. But now when you have bums laying in the cafeteria, I mean, it's crazy. And what? Where's the governor? Where's the mayor? I'm sorry, we need an FBI task force to take over the city. Gary, thanks for calling. Very sad story. Very sad story. San Francisco, Jim, line one, tell me what you saw.
Two quick points. There is no better radio than a Michael Savage monologue. Okay, so there's an article in the local paper attributing homelessness to the increase in rent in San Francisco. They cite a homeless advocate who probably makes over $150,000. I called her. I said, what's the empirical evidence that the rising rents are causing people to live on the street? I said, let's put a scale of methamphetamine addiction.
Thank you.
The rising rents. Which one is going to outweigh which?
No. Listen, I was young and poor, and I didn't lay in the gutter. What we did was we shared apartments, right? You start by living in your parents' house if you can't afford one. Then you move out with a girlfriend and you both share the rent. Or you get another couple. They take another bedroom. You share the rent. What, they never heard of that here in California or in New York?
It's ironic that you mentioned that because I cited the specific example. I said in 1985, when I got out of college in California, everybody wanted to go move to Manhattan. That was
that's everybody wanted to live in the East, in the West Village, in a nice brick-lined apartment, but they couldn't afford it, so they wound up in Flushing, New York.
They did. There was an equilibrium. Or if you couldn't afford it, you lived with three or four people. That's the way that it works. I told her, don't tell me that it's the rising rent. Go out and look at the street. It's
Hey, the rents have always been too high for people on the bottom. That's why the suburbs were built. That's why the commuter trains were built out of cities. That was to provide a transportation system for the people who couldn't afford to live in the city in which they worked. So they lived out in counties outside the city. That's how the suburbs developed. What, would they forgot history all of a sudden? All these snot noses come out of college where they did nothing for 6 years but have sex and take drugs day and night and then tell themselves how good they were. Then they come out, they're fit for nothing, and all of a sudden they want a high-rise apartment in downtown San Francisco or New York and like it's owed to them. Nothing's good enough for them outside of the city, so they can't go out and get drunk and have sex 10 minutes a day, every 10 minutes in the day. Ah, don't give me that crap. I've heard it all my whole life. I heard it all my whole life, whether it was in New York or San Francisco, wherever you live. It's the same garbage. I'm a former social worker, so let me tell you right now. I know how they think. I'm a former social worker. I won't labor you with the story. Here I was, a college graduate, earning about $5,600 a year at the time, which was not a lot of money then. It's not a lot of money now. It's minimum wage, college grad. I didn't complain about it. I took the job. Well, I had to go and visit people on welfare. They were living in the Bernie Sanders area of Manhattan now, which is the Upper West Side, which has become fashionable again. It was a hellhole. Remember the Al Pacino movie from years ago called Panic in Needle Park? That's where they were. Okay, so they put the bums, the homeless, the poor, the welfare, into these beautiful buildings on the Upper West Side. Some of these buildings overlooked the Hudson River. They were gorgeous, drop-dead views. They abused the buildings. There was trash. There was rats. There was garbage. I had to go there as an investigator for the welfare department and just check to see if they were really, you know, on welfare, what they were doing. So I'd go into one apartment after the other. I wrote about it. Every one of them was violating the rules, and they were living better than I was. They all had furniture in there. I was sleeping on a mattress in my apartment out in Queens. I had to take a subway into work. And I slept on a mattress on the floor of the apartment. I had no night tables. I had orange crates, boxes. I didn't complain about it. So when I had to write a check to the bum family for about $1,600 for furniture for their house, and I said to my welfare supervisor, but wait a minute, I don't have that furniture in my house, and I'm a college grad. And she said to me, that's okay. That's the way the system works. That's when I slowly became aware of the inequities in the social welfare state of New York at that time, and now it's infected the entire country. That's when I suddenly realized everything was upside down, and look how bad it has gotten in my lifetime. We have to come to understand that everything has a cycle. To everything, there is a cycle. And the drugs, the sex, and the rock and roll that was promoted by the hippie movement that has produced these stone politicians that are running the liberal cities is the end of a long line of insanity. It's a long lineage of insanity that will eventually come to an end. Now, some of you fear that they become so militarized and militant that we'll have a French Revolution. I don't think it will go that far for a number of reasons, and that's because we're not starving. I've told you that before. There are no revolutions in the world when the people are fat. And the last I checked at airports and malls, the people look like mini. Well, let's leave it at that. There's no starvation. And the reason there was a revolution in France, the peasants were starving. The reason there was a revolution in Russia in 1917, the peasants were starving. We have no starvation. As long as these fatties can still go to McDonald's, as long as they can go to buffets and eat all that they want, and they can stuff their face till they have diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and then they're told to take medication for it. Then they get a shyster lawyer who sues for mesothelioma. Things like that. They get class action dribblings coming down to them. They're not going to revolt. There's no revolt coming. So I think we're going to have the pendulum's going to go in the other direction. Within, I would say, I can't give you the years. I don't know. I'm not Nostradamus. I'm Michael Savage. Now, speaking about that, one of the things I like to do is news, views, and reviews. I've given you some news and some other stuff, but I have yet to review the movie I went to, and I have to tell you about it. I went to that movie that everyone supposedly has to go to see, and I gave a one-liner on it. Where is it? I have to find it on Twitter. Here it is. Tarantino's Hollywood bomb. I left after 8 minutes. Insufferable dreck. Three has-beens trying to be cool. I try to make it very succinct. Tarantino's Hollywood bomb. Left after 8 minutes. Insufferable dreck. Three has-beens trying to be cool. I sit in the theater, and there is Brad Pitt, the other one, I forget, DiCaprio, and then the third one comes in. Al Pacino enters the scene. Look, it's supposed to be a Jewish producer in Hollywood in the 60s wearing a striped blue suit. And he says, no, my name is Swartz, not Schwartz. Everyone sat in the audience unmoving. No one laughed. No one moved. Dreck. So I watched it for a little bit more. I couldn't take it. They were winging it, in other words. There was no script. This was pure improvisation. But they thought that they were such pretty boys and so good looking and so powerful that the morons would flock to the theater. And they're right. The movie's making tons of money. So since when do the masses know anything about art? The answer is never. It's just awful. And my one-liner says it all. Tarantino's Hollywood bomb left after 8 minutes. Insufferable dreck. They are three has-beens trying to be cool. If you care to comment on Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Pedowood, the phone number is 855-407-282. Back in a minute.
Savage.
Welcome back to the sad state of California, New York, Illinois, you name it. Any city that liberals run, they run into the ground. They have no sense of law and order. They have no sense of decency. They're all corrupt. The money is stolen from the treasury around the clock and no one says a word. But you know something? There's a bright part here in California, especially throughout the state now. There's not a single plastic straw. There are hypodermic needles everywhere. There's human feces and garbage and trash in 10 cities. But you know something, you liberals? You should be very happy there's not a single plastic straw to be found. Congratulations on having your priorities, I would say, up your... but I can't. It's a family show. What would you like to talk about on this show? This? You want to get stuck on this? Or you want to read my article? Michael Savage backs Trump. See, I said the word Trump, so now you'll listen. Your ears perked up. Of San Sandwich. Junkies shoot up in front of the children. Again, I'm extending an invitation to the president. When he does come out to visit California to show the sad state of what liberals do to a city, I hope he does come out before the election. It's a great place to showcase the difference between his policies and the policies of anarchy. I would like to be his guide. Just use me. I'm a man of the streets. I'll take him to places that none of his handlers know even exist. I mean, anybody could go near City Hall and see the bums and the garbage. Anyone could do that. But I want to take him into places that were once so beautiful, your heart would have dropped. And I want you to see what happened to this city as a result of liberalism. And believe me, it all started in the 60s. It didn't just happen overnight. It started with the invasion of the hippies, the rampant drug use, mainly at the time it was what, marijuana and LSD. Now God knows what they're using. I don't even keep up with it. Whatever the drugs are. It's filtering down to the bums in the street. And if you think the politicians do not want an open drug marketplace, you're mistaken. You're mistaken if you think it's happening by accident. Let's just leave it at that. But most of us have seen too many movies to not be able to understand where the money goes. It's that simple. San Carlos, Mike, go ahead. You were just in China, and what happened?
Yeah, I just got back from about 2.5 weeks in China. My wife's from there and took my folks from Alaska there. And it was really interesting because for 2.5 weeks, I didn't see a single cardboard sign. You see trash on the street. You don't see people sleeping under blankets. You don't see any of that.
What do the communists do with the extras on human life who don't have a job? Where do they go?
A couple of ideas, but probably don't want to talk about that on public radio. But it just
no. What do the Chinese communists do? What do the communist Chinese do with the extras on life stage?
I really don't know. but I.
Well, let's hope they're not harvesting their organs. Well, I don't think they would be because they don't want infected organs. I don't think they do it out of any morality. Look what they do to animals. And look at how they treat the Christians in China. So I don't think that they would not harvest the organs of the extras on the human stage if there was a dime to be made from it. It's probably because they don't want the infected organs. But where are the bums in China?
You don't see them even.
I mean, would they round them up and make them work in a coal mine?
Even the people who don't have much who ride around on bikes. You don't see them complaining. You don't see their hands out. They actually go and work.
They come from an ethic that is built over thousands of years, going all the way back to the Manchus and probably before then, of self-respect, respect for the society, and respect for the social order, which is something that has been destroyed in America, primarily in the 1960s by the hippies, who set out to break down everything in the society. You know that that's the reason. Well, thank you for calling. I don't want to belabor what you all know. Otherwise, I will get stuck in the prosaic. And my greatest enemy is the prosaic. To me, the prosaic is Prozac for the masses, and I don't want to go there. That's a good line. Would you like to talk about the Tarantino bomb that the sheeple are running to? Because, look, there's Brad Pitt. Isn't he handsome? Look. There's Leon DiCaprio. Let's see Leon DiCaprio. Oh, there's the great Al Pacino. What are they going to see there that they don't already know? The morons are running already. Rushing. The morons are rushing in. I lasted 8 minutes. Got my money back. I walked out into the sun and took a deep breath. I saw the ad-libs. I knew there was no script. And then I had to do a flashback with a flamethrower to a bad Tarantino that's shooting, burning up Nazis to show everyone they're liberals. Oh, it was sickening.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Unbelievable that we have a president of the United States who attacks American cities, who attacks Americans, who attacks somebody who's a friend of mine. Elijah Cummings is one of the most decent and outstanding members of the House of Representatives. He fights every day to improve life in his community. Our job is to bring people together to improve life for all people, not to have a racist president who attacks people because they are African Americans. That is a disgrace, and that is why we're going to defeat this president.
You're going to defeat. If Bernie Sanders did the Bristol stomp, they'd have to give him a bone transplant. His shin bones would splint, to whatever's left of his shin bones. That's why he's moved down. They saw an old hack, a bum on a box. That's all he was. We used to see them in Tompkins Square Park in the Village years ago, the commies. They were the same then. They're the same now. He got nowhere. The minute the American people saw him on the national stage, he collapsed. That's all. You know, when you see junkies shooting in front of children, when you see homeless bums insulting your wife when you go out to dinner in the city today, when you see a bum drop his pants and defecate outside a restaurant, you know, enough is enough, even to liberals. When you come back from dinner and your car window is broken, you know, you don't say, I'm a liberal, therefore I tolerate it. You say, somebody's got to do something, right? Well, tell me which liberal is going to do something about it. Tell me who. That's what we're talking about today. So that was Bernie on Trump's Baltimore tweet. the president who attacks cities. How can a president attack an American city? What does he think? He went over there with a B-52? What do you mean attacked American cities? Stupid. Well, then we would be remiss if we didn't play for you the street agitator bum Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton has to have done more to damage race relations in America than anyone other than Jesse Jackson. In my estimation, no one has set blacks against whites and white against blacks more so than these two. And, of course, he was rewarded for it by Phil Griffin, who gave him a job and a slot on MSNBC. The place is the go-to place for America haters. Here he is, Al Sharpton, a clip on attacking the president.
I know Donald Trump. He's not mature enough to take criticism. He can't help it. He's like a child. Somebody says something, he reacts. He's thin-skinned and not really matured that well. He has a particular venom for blacks and people of color.
We go.
He doesn't refer to any of his other opponents or critics as infested. He does not attack their districts.
He did. He attacks San Francisco.
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
he attacks Chuck Schumer.
There you
he attacks other whites.
There you go.
But he never said that their districts or their states are places that no human being wants to live.
Right, the fact of the matter is, enlightening us out. I'm glad you enlightened us and told us that in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, it's a district that no human being wants to live in. Thanks for educating us, Al. You're right about that. The president was remiss, but thank you for filling in the blanks on what's actually going on in the district. So the only problem here with this whole Sharpton-Trump thing is that Trump elevated this bum, this mook, up to this level. It's terrible. And that's the one negative on it. Now, back in 2016 or 2015, the Seltzer man, Bernie Sanders, was saying that Baltimore looks like a third world country. We have that tape and we're going to play it in a second. Bernie Sanders in 2015 said Baltimore looks like a third world country. So here is Bernie Sanders then, as opposed to Bernie Sanders now. Let's hear clip number four.
America is the wealthiest country in the history of the world. But anyone who took the walk that we took around this neighborhood would not think you're in a wealthy nation. You would think that you were in a third world country. Today, what we're talking about is a community in which half of the people don't have jobs. We're talking about a community.
Federal jobs.
In which
government
there are hundreds
jobs.
Of buildings
job.
That are uninhabitable.
Oh. Now, why are the buildings uninhabitable, Bernie? You know, I come from poor immigrant people. They washed every morning. They swept out their tenement apartment. They aired out their bedding. They cleaned the streets in front of their apartment. Nobody would dare throw even a cigarette wrapper out in those days in front of the building. How come the buildings are uninhabitable, Bernie? What does it have to do with? Is there any reason for this that's not to do with race, Bernie? Can you get the word race out of your stupid brain? It's called character. And I'm more concerned with the character of a person than I am with the skin color, just as Martin Luther King Jr. was. I'm far more concerned with the character than the color of their skin, Bernie. It's a shame that you aren't. But then again, this is nothing new. It's probably old news to most of you. And we can talk about these topics or about immigration. So far, nothing's been done. I read over the weekend that the president has a deal going on with Guatemala where some kind of deal will be struck where Guatemala's military dictatorship won't let the extras on the stage of Guatemala's life there come over here. He won't let them out of the country. So we're going to smear off the military police state of Guatemala to lock them in, which is a good thing. Better there than here. And it's a better expenditure of money, by the way. I don't care what the amount of billions that we give, let's say, a third world tin pot dictatorship to keep them in their country. It's cheaper than bringing them here, isn't it? So let them use the money there any way they want. They could build a housing for them, which they won't do. They'll just spend it. They'll buy houses in Miami, probably Ferraris, Maseratis, a G6, a used G6 from a talk show host, that kind of thing. That's what they'll do with the money. You think they're going to give it to the poor of Guatemala? Never. You know, there's an adage, if you give a man a fish, he will become dependent upon you. If you give a hungry man a fishing rod, he will fish for himself. You ever hear that one? That's something that Al Sharpton and Bernie Sanders never learned in Communism 101. Let's go to the callers now, 855-407-282. We have a special guest about the four witches of the apocalypse visiting Israel coming up very soon. I can't wait to see the haters go there. Why the Israelis are doing this, I will never understand. The Israeli government has about the stupidest people in public relations that God has ever made. Why would they let the four witches in there? They have the power to block them. Netanyahu has the power to say, stay out, you're not wanted. They're just going to go there and repeat the big lie that it's a racist nation, etc. Now, I would advise the Israelis as follows. I'm going to talk about it just for a minute. If you're going to let these four haters in, what you do is you take your very large Sephardic Jewish community. Those are the brown-skinned people. See, haters like Occasional Cortex and T-Lob and the others don't even know that there are people who have colored skin in Israel who are actually Jews. They're so racist, they think every Jew is white skin as though that's a crime unto itself. But let's put aside the fact that just being white is not a crime. That's a nice bumper sticker. Being white is not a crime. Take it and run with it. These four haters, these racist women, have no idea that there are brown-skinned Israelis. So the Israelis, if they had any brains, would not use white men of European descent to greet these four rats. What they should do is have women from those countries, like the Sephardic background that they're from, or Falashas, who are actual African Jews. I know you never heard about that one. These are Ethiopian Jews who were all saved by the Israelis in the early 50s. I think it was called Operation, I don't remember the name of it. In the early 1950s, the Jews of Ethiopia, the black Jews, the Falashas, who had been there since Moses' time, they emigrated from the Middle East, ancient community, and they were being threatened with annihilation. In one day, the Jews from Israel sent airplanes, huge airplanes. I think it was like Operation Eagle. Correct me if you know the name of it. They came and they took every black Jew out of Ethiopia and flew them to Israel and resettled them there. Did you know that? Oh, you haven't heard that one while you were at your college taking your drugs? But that's what happened. Now, many of these people are greatly integrated into the society. Many of them are in the military. I would use black Israelis, I would use brown-skinned Israelis, as the people who meet these four witches of the apocalypse from America, interchange with them, communicate with them as best they can, and speak to the press during the entire time that they are there. And I hope that these words, which are picked up by some in Israel, for example, Aaron Klein, who did the article about me in Breitbart today, Aaron is bilingual, he knows very well that I have some very good ideas. Maybe he will translate some of these ideas to the Israeli government. Maybe he can get them through to Netanyahu. And do not have anyone interchange or speak on behalf of Israel while these four haters are over there, other than, and I would suggest, women of color who happen to be Jewish and Israeli. That would be my advice. Will it get to them? I hope so. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically-induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep-diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
About a year ago, city leaders identified some of the city's most violent neighborhoods.
What the hell? We should just take all this down. Ooh, you can smell the rats. Ooh, Jesus.
Just last week, we went with Mayor Pugh. She toured an East Baltimore neighborhood.
Oh, my God. You can smell the dead animals.
Blocks of dilapidated buildings help to hide the addiction that's crippled this community.
And her name is Mayor Pugh. You know, sometimes life imitates art. That's not spell like you would think, P-H-E-W, like in a cartoon. That is Mayor Pugh, not to impugn her. We don't want to impugn Mayor Pugh, but her spelling is P-U-G-H. Mayor Pugh complained about rats and dead animals in the city now that the president said it's got dead rats and stuff. And they're calling that racist. Is that ratist to say that? Is that rodentist? Is there something ist in there that we can add to the list of ists? I think that's rodentist to say that rats are bad. After all, in San Francisco, they're considered pets by the people with green hair and nose rings. USA to borrow $1.23 trillion in the year 19, second year in a row, says the Drudge Report. USA to borrow $1.23 trillion, in the year 2019. But oh, what the heck? MAGA. MAGA. I thought we were once against big government. Wasn't one of the definitions of conservatism, I'm for smaller government, limited government? Have you heard anyone say that recently? I haven't heard it recently. I don't listen to every show on the air. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on the air. Some of the great people in radio may be actually saying the government's gotten too big and the spending is too great. I don't know about it because I don't hear about it. But the spending is frightening. And then what about the shooter at the garlic festival? What was that about? I mean, I'm a garlic eater. I know it has nothing to do with it, but I live on garlic. I eat it all the time. I chop it up. I eat it. A lot of it comes from Gilroy. I eat organic garlic. I eat it raw like a horse. I know it sounds crazy. I will cut a piece of a clove off a thing and chop it and put it on a piece of bread. Do you know that with olive oil? I swear to God, I've been doing it for years. Garlic is a lifesaver. There are sulfur compounds in garlic that have not been isolated by science that kill microbes that haven't even been noted yet. One of the greatest things you could eat is a clove of garlic a day. That's been well known in Ayurvedic medicine for a long time. I've been known about it forever, and I live on garlic. But the garlic festival, what is this guy? What does this nut want? Cuts through back fence to avoid security, has a rifle. You notice the cops killed him right away? How about a round of applause for the cops? Unlike in Florida, where the guy hid behind a post while the kids were being killed. These cops went out and killed him. Who was it? Highway Patrol who did it? Does anyone know who the cops who had the guts, the cojones, to go out and shoot this bum with the rifle and kill him? Has Governor Newsom thanked the police yet? Or is he checking which way the wind is blowing to see if he should thank the police or condemn the police for shooting this bum? Because he's a teenager. Motive mystery. Motive mystery. Link to Instagram post. He was some kind of nutcase, Nazi-like kind of guy, it looks like to me. What's his name? I don't know who his name was. What I care what his name is. I know his name. The Santino part I know already. And, God, awful. Shooting people, killing a little child, anybody. Why did he do it? And he hated a lot of people, this guy. A lot of people he hated. And he posted stuff on his Instagram thing showing Smokey the Bear and a sign saying, "Fire danger high today." Read Might is Right by Ragnar Redbeard. Why overcrowd towns and pave more open space to make room for hordes of mestizos and Silicon Valley white. I can't even say the word. That's quoting now. Those are the words he used. A mestizo is a person of mixed descent, commonly white and Hispanic or white and American Indian. Might is Right is first published in the 1800s, has been described as a white supremacist text that promotes anarchy while vilifying Christianity. Vilifying Christianity. Vilifying Christianity. The book calls Jesus the true prince of evil and says that the natural order is a world at war in which the strong must vanquish the weak and white men must rule over those of color. At a news conference on Monday, cops said that the weapon, an AK-47 type rifle, had been bought legally in Nevada earlier this month. But the nightmare at the garlic festival could have been worse. They credited a heavy police presence for saving more lives as chaos descended on the decades-old food festival. We had many, many officers in the park at the time this occurred, which accounts for very, very quick response time. Again, we have to have a round of applause for armed policemen who went and confronted him and killed this piece of trash, right? Unbelievable to me. Who do you blame for this now? You blame garlic? You blame the rifle, you blame the shooter, you blame Prozac. What do you blame? Books? Who do you blame here? You don't know who to blame anymore. The world's crazy. Why was there such a high police presence is the first question. I know the answer to that. Do you know why there's a very high police presence at all of the festivals and fairs in California now? Because of Mexican gangs and other Central American gangs. Central American gangs and Mexican gangs who kill each other and fight with each other at these festivals. Did you know that? These festivals are generally populated by a lot of farm workers' children. And they're not like the farm workers anymore. The farm workers work very hard. Their children generally do not work very hard. They've been polluted by America, infected by the lies of the media. So the cops are there to stop violence. And they did stop the violence. Have they gotten credit for it? Has anyone in the media said, let's have a round of applause for them? I hope so. Maybe they did. Over a garlic festival now. He screamed out, I am really angry. In the middle of a fun-filled afternoon, he screams out, I'm really angry, and opens up with a rifle. Chaos, carnage, and death on an idyllic Sunday afternoon. Who would figure this would happen at a garlic festival? Is there anywhere safe on earth anymore? Anywhere to go? I went out on my little boat on Saturday, alone in the middle of the bay. You know what? I had peace. I had quiet. I talked to the clouds. I talked to the fog. I talked to the gulls.
Savage.
All around college campuses, there are Jews, Muslims, Hindus, all different kinds of backgrounds who are pushing back against racist policies in Israel because they see that the human rights violations of children being detained.
This is one of the worst people in the history of the U.S. Congress, a hater of the lowest order, pushing the big lie that Israel is racist. She is doing what Hitler did and what the Nazis did, in my estimation, in the 1930s. She is demonizing Jews in Israel, and yet she's invited by the foolish leaders of Israel, along with Occasional Cortex, and the other one. I can't remember their names. Why do they suddenly want to go to Israel? They can't take care of their own districts. The districts they come from are hellholes here in America. All of a sudden, they're allowed to enter Israel. Joining us right now is David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, to discuss this with us. Mr. Rubin, welcome to the Savage Nation radio program.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Why suddenly do these haters, why are they all going to Israel? What, to make Israel look bad?
No, to gain a platform to criticize Israel, to criticize America, to criticize Jews. That's what they're looking for, and it gives them a very nice platform to stand in the background with Israel in the background, with the walls of the old city of Jerusalem in the background. That's what they want. They just want
to... Well, my opinion is they shouldn't be allowed to enter the country. So I understand what could happen if that happened. But what is your opinion? Should they be allowed to enter the country?
No, absolutely not. You don't allow in people...
Thank you.
Who are going to be criticizing you publicly. There is a law in Israel that anyone who is promoting and advocating for the boycott of Israel is not going to be allowed into the country. The prime minister is showing weakness.
Ah.
And look, Ilhan Omar knows, just like anyone in the Middle East knows, that when you see weakness, you pounce on it.
I agree 100%. So you are the former mayor of Shiloh. Tell the listeners of the program where Shiloh, Israel is. Where is it on the map?
Shiloh is in the heart of Samaria. It's the biblical heartland of Israel. Most of the world calls it the West Bank, which is a mistaken name. You won't find it in any history books. You won't find the West Bank. You will find Shiloh, yes. First capital.
Well, of course, it's biblical, Israel. Sure. So now you've got these haters, these anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-American haters, Omar and Tlaib, going to visit Israel. I would say don't let them in. And why is Netanyahu showing this weakness in your estimation, Mr. Rubin?
Because he's very concerned about the political game in America. He's very concerned about support for Israel being a bipartisan issue, being a consensus issue. But it hasn't been for a long time. And as I wrote in my book, Trump and the Jews, the issue of Israel has long ago ceased to be a bipartisan issue. We have to understand the reality that the Democratic Party has been moving to the far left for a number of years now. Most of the anti-Semitism and the anti-Israel hatred comes from the far left of the Democratic Party these days. And unfortunately, the leadership of the Democratic Party is running scared. I would love to know where Chuck Schumer has been hiding since these women have been advocating.
Well, where did this hatred come from this Rashida Tlaib? She's Palestinian in origin, correct?
Yes, her family.
You know, I had an idea today, Mr. Rubin. I want to run it by you. Maybe you have friends in Israel you can tell us to. The worst mistake Israel could make, in addition to letting them in, which is already a given, is having European Israelis be their hosts and their spokesmen while they're there. I believe the Israelis should use the Sephardic women in their government and the Falashas in their government to interchange with these women because it would take a lot of wind out of their sails. Do you agree with that from the point of view of optics?
Sure. There's a lot that could be done once they are actually here if their plan is to meet with Israel's leaders, if Israel is controlling the visit. But I guarantee you that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are not looking to have the Israeli government coordinate their trip. And they're not looking to coordinate it with Israel because they don't believe in Israel. They think that they like to say that Israel doesn't belong here, that Israel is an oppressor. That's the narrative they like to bring across. So, there's a lot that Israel's leaders could do if they were coordinating the trip. But I will virtually guarantee you that those two women will not be allowing Israel's leaders to coordinate the trip. And that's
all right, so they're going to go over there, go to Israel, and go right over to Judea or Samaria and meet with some of the Palestinian agitators, no doubt, right, and scream about poverty, oppression, racism. That's what we're going to hear right away?
That's absolutely it. That's absolutely it.
We see it already. I can write the script. Mr. Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and the Savage Nation, Iranian attacks on tankers. What is this about? The downing of an American drone? Only Israel's been launching significant military strikes against the radical Islamic regime's military forces. Why is the Jewish state the only country responding militarily to Iran's aggression, do you think?
Well, Israel understands that Iran is an existential threat to Israel, and that if they are allowed to be based in Syria, which is where they're trying to set up military installations, that they have to be stopped. And so there have been hundreds of attacks. We have attacked Syria hundreds of times, Iranian installations, military installations in Syria. And the only way that you stop Iran is by attacking them. You know, sanctions help. I'm not going to say they don't help. But they are not going to stop Iran's aggression. And at some point, they have to be confronted. So we've been confronting them.
Well, you know, I know Iranian people here in America casually, and I speak with them. And they tell me what happened since the Islamic fanatics took over the country, what has happened to human rights. It's disappeared. Women have been turned into a second-class or third-class citizens. The people in Iran hate the mullahs. Is that true? I mean, do you see that as well? The average person hates the mullahs in Iran?
Oh, certainly. There's a tremendous amount of repression in Iran. There have been rebellions. There are even members of the regime in Iran that have been trying to rebel against the regime and secretly met with some American officials recently. This wasn't reported that much in the media, but it did happen.
Why do you think the British are so supine with their lack of response to the Iranian seizure of their oil tanker? They're like a supine nation now. What is that going to do? It's only going to encourage their enemy, isn't it?
Well, that's the influence of the European Union. The European Union is a bunch of panderers, and they don't know how to fight back against aggression. Hopefully Boris Johnson will change that situation.
Now, where can people get a copy of your book, Trump and the Jews? It's at Amazon.com. You type in Trump and the Jews. But I want to go into that book for a minute. What is your thesis in the book, Trump and the Jews?
Well, look, I speak all over the United States, and whenever I speak to Christian audiences, they ask me, what is it with the Jews in America? Why are they so liberal? And I decided that if I was going to write a book about Trump and his relationship to the Jewish community, I had to examine that as well. And one thing that I found from my research is that first of all, Trump had strong relations with Jews in New York as a businessman and some of his closest confidants are Jews from New York, and of course his family members, and he has Jewish grandchildren, so he is connected to the Jewish people. But the Jews who came to America, they came as immigrants in poverty. There was a lot of discrimination against them, but do you think that they had days of rage like Al Sharpton would have them do? No, just the opposite. They worked hard, and they sent their children to school and made their children learn hard.
Right.
And they got ahead. But
absolutely, through hard work,
as a result,
education,
as a result,
diligence, loyalty to the country. They knew the children would do better than them. But that's long gone with the guys like Sharpton. I understand that.
Right, but that has always been the Jewish approach, to work hard and to try to get ahead through your own accomplishments, and that's something that Trump understands. So there's a commonality of values between President Trump and the traditional values of the Jewish people.
You know, what bothers me the most is when I was hearing them call him racist, sexist, homophobic, and anti-Semite, I would get enraged on this program, Mr. Rubin, because I knew he had Jewish grandchildren. His son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew. His daughter converted to Judaism. I went to a Hanukkah party in the White House with him last December. This is the golden age for Jews in this White House. And yet the left continued to pile on with the biggest lies I've ever seen since the lies of Nazi Germany.
Yeah, absolutely. President Trump has accomplished more for the U.S.-Israel relationship than any president in history. From the moving of the embassy to Jerusalem, from the doing away with the American participation in the Iran nuclear deal, which was a disaster for Israel and for the United States. He stopped the payments to, he didn't stop the payments, but he stopped the American payments to the Palestinian Authority until they stopped paying the terrorists. I was wounded in a terrorist attack. My three-year-old son was shot in the head.
What?
But those, yes.
Wait, please. Did your son survive that?
Yes. Thank God he survived. The bullet missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter.
Oh, my God. Where did this happen? What city?
This was between Shiloh and Jerusalem. We were driving home, and that's where it happened. The terrorists were on the side of the road from the Palestinian Authority. They had AK-47 assault rifles. I was shot in the leg. He was shot in the head.
And how did you survive the gun battle? Who saved you?
The bullets kept missing. There were only those two bullets that actually hit us. There were 49 bullet holes in the car, and I got the car to start somehow after a lot of tries.
What do you mean? You were able to drive away with you were able to drive the car away in the middle of a machine gun attack?
It wasn't easy. Believe me, my leg was bleeding profusely. The car was shaking the whole time, but I got up the road, got to an ambulance, and eventually we got to the hospital.
Did anyone catch these sterling examples that Mrs. Tlaib will be looking for? Were any of them captured?
I would be happy to meet Mrs. Tlaib so I can give her a piece of my mind.
I don't doubt that you would. Again,
no.
I was speaking with a man named David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. His book is called Trump and the Jews, available on Amazon.com. I thank you very much for speaking with the Savage Nation today, and God bless you. God bless you is right. The things that people have to live through, and they do live through it, and they get up and they pick themselves up and they rehabilitate themselves and they go on in life. They don't roll over. It's a miracle to me what human nature really is.
Savage.
My personal view is that he richly deserves impeachment. He has done many impeachable offenses. He's violated the law 6 ways from Sundays. But that's not the question. The question is, can we develop enough evidence to put before the American people? We've broken the logjam. You know, the president and the attorney general were lying to the American people consistently.
This man deserves to be investigated. I say it to my friends who say, how does Nadler get away with it when he's nothing but a low-grade lawyer from New York? And my answer is the Republicans are stupid. They don't know how to fight. They should look into Nadler's background. I will say it again. if not all, then most politicians have skeletons in their closet. And I don't care how far they have come, they began somewhere. And you will find, if you investigate, some things you can hang on them that they're not too proud of. And I believe the Republicans should hire a full-time team of investigators to investigate the investigators. If they were to investigate Nadler and Schiff and the others who are making this stuff up out of whole cloth, they may come up with things that may just quiet them down just a bit. That's all I can say to you. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com in the waning moments of this program. Here are the articles that I want you to look at later on when you miss me and you wish I was on 24 hours a day so you can go to wake up to me, go to sleep with me, have lunch with me, have a coffee with me. I'm only on 2 hours a day. That's quite enough, thank you. And here's the top article on the website that I'm going to insist you start visiting every day. If you love me, if you love the Savage Nation, you're going to do two things. You're going to listen to the sponsors and you're going to patronize their products. Then you're going to go to michaelsavage.com and you're going to read the stories. And the number one story today is from Breitbart. It's Savage on San Francisco. It says, junkies shoot up in front of children. If I'm lying, prove it, because it's true. Then I linked $12,000 a day, how white liberals profit from pushing white privilege. You'll see the money that is being made on that big lie. I then posted Ann Coulter, how we became the world's suckers on immigration. Great article, by the way. She's a brilliant person. Billionaire Koch brothers, Americans must not turn our back on refugees. They are not conservatives. They're simply capitalists. Father recalls moment he learned six-year-old son was killed in Garlic Festival shooting, heartbreaking. Gilroy Garlic Festival shooter identified as Santino William Legan as police work to find motive. There is no motive other than drugs. Drugs, drugs, and Satanism. I then reviewed Tarantino's Hollywood bomb. I don't recommend it at all. You want to waste your money? Go sit there like a schmuck. Go ahead. In 2015, Bernie Sanders, the seltzer man, compared Baltimore to a third world country. He now saying it's a great city and he hates Trump. Meanwhile, in New York, they made the people even stupider. Governor Andrew Cuomo signs bill decriminalizing pot in New York. One of the stupidest moves in the history of medicine. Ask any doctor in an ER room. I could read you other stuff, but you may as well read it yourself on MichaelSavage.com. Some of it's good, some of it's very, very bad. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a member of the Savage Nation.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.